Trading shouldn't have barriers. When Robinhood started, it was built to make trading more accessible. Now, Robinhood offers more sophisticated trading tools. Experience the future of trading on Robinhood Legend, the all-new desktop platform that harnesses intuitive design to deliver a seamless experience for traders. Free to use with a Robinhood account. Robinhood Legend is designed for how you trade, with powerful charts including custom intervals down to the tick and over 80 indicators and drawing tools. Trade all of your favorite assets, including popular stocks and ETFs, all in one place. Take your trading to the next level by customizing your layout in seconds and even enter and exit positions in one tap right from the chart with up to 8 charts per layout. The future of trading is fast, powerful, and precise. Experience it now on Robinhood Legend. Sign up today. Investing is risky. Robinhood Financial LLC, member SIPC, is a registered broker-dealer. Other fees may apply.
Tired of trying diet after diet without results? Mochi Health offers a long-term weight loss solution personalized to your needs. Our board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians provide expert guidance to help you succeed. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medication at an affordable set price delivered monthly. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 for $40 off your first month. That's joinmochi.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Michael Gobia, Ben with Chase, Robbie Baseball. It's live. It's Wednesday night. This is the first official show, gentlemen, Pull Up the
Utah
Podcast.
Give me two.
Since we cracked 1,000 subscribers. So this is the inaugural new age that we are living in. Pretty exciting.
It feels so
Thank
good
you to
be to
everyone.
Internet rich.
For that help.
You see that? We got 1 cent. You see the 1 cent?
Yes, I did.
1 cent.
And I've pulled several
people.
We
are living it. Now, how are we going to split that to what? 8 ways, 7 ways?
I'm realizing this right now. I should have said this before we start the show, but I believe, Ben, the wrong mic is clicked on for you because you don't sound like... Oh. I just realized that now as we're doing the show. Hey, that's what happens when we do a live show sometimes when you're hauling ass trying to get shit done. So we're here, and the live chat is open at your service. We're going to talk about the next big three prospects today for who, Robbie?
The baseball teams that reside in Miami, Milwaukee, and the crappy ones that are in New York. The Mets,
Ben,
everybody.
I can't believe you're so rude. Ben, how can you be so rude?
I'm a Canadian. Our new thing is that we don't give a ruffle. There you go. Sorry for the rough language.
I think you're muted, Ben, but I'm looking forward to hearing. Well, oh, no, there you are.
I didn't think I was, but...
You sound like your beautiful self, man.
All right, good deal.
For you East Coasters, we're a little later here. It's 9:40 Eastern Standard Time. If you're watching this later, please comment on the video. Let us know what you think. Disagree, agree. PalazzoPodcast@gmail.com if you want to throw an email. But the best way is to comment on the video or go to our Discord. Description has the link every episode we do. It's the same format. I copy and paste the Discord link, the Patreon link, the standard issue layout for the show, minus a few hashtags I have to change every time, but that's pretty much it. And we're going to start today with the Marlins, who used to be known as the Florida Marlins, Ben. Do you remember those days?
Yep.
The days of Orestes Destrada.
And Nigel Wilson.
Do you know, hey, this? I bet one of you guys knows this. Who threw the first pitch in Marlins history?
Whoa,
wasn't it Charlie Huff?
Bing, 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 bing. We got a winner. You nailed it, Ben. I knew you would know that. I just
say
didn't know you'd know.
Well, he was about their most well-known arm that they had at the time. But so
And he's so distinguishable. Like you, everybody remembers Charlie Huff.
Yeah, well, I mean,
old man. Yeah, honestly, he looked like he was 60.
I loved when he was on the Rangers with Nolan Ryan, and they would have them start on back to back days. And I'm thinking, how rude can you be to a batter to have them face Nolan Ryan and 100 and whatever miles an hour, even at 40, and then the next day you got to face a freaking knuckleballer? Like, you know, that's just not right.
I'm looking at the 93 Marlins roster.
Are you muted now, Mike?
Yeah. MJ Govier is muted, unless he's talking to somebody else. Trevor Hoffman is on their opening day roster back in 93.
I pressed my mute button on the soundboard, and I'm like, why am I muted? This show's off to a wonderful start.
Yeah, we're doing
Jeff Ponine, whose son
definitely worth a thousand
is subs. Now. Up, yes. So that's good.
Griffin, yeah, I mean, cool. Yeah, was I right? Was Charlie Hayes on that team or no?
No, he was
later.
Rocky.
Oh, he's a Rocky.
He was one of those original Rockies.
Anyway, nobody cares about the 90s Rockies or good Marlins, time. So let's focus in on the Miami Marlins Benito at 3 minutes and 57 Santiago. Seconds. Benito, the man. Okay, who wants to lead us off first? This is how we do it, guys. In case you don't know, we've been doing this show, this series, the next big three prospects. We give you the top three in the system. Then Ben and Robbie each share their next big three. And, of course, a handful of additional prospects that they just have to mention because it matters for your fantasy baseball team. So we always go with the top three from last year, and then we reveal this year first. So, Ben, you want to lead us off?
Sure. We'll start with our big three. And just a little quick thing here. I went through, and when we get to the big three next three, the Marlins did a lot of wheeling and dealing last year during the season and kind of completely rebuilt their their entire minor league system. I have five of my six that we're going to talk about. Hey, Chad. Five of the six that we're going to talk about are going to be people who were not in their system, or at least that I have mentioned, who were not in their system when the season began last year. So they did that much of an overhaul. And there's a lot in the other players to know as well that I have that are not we're not there. So last year I had the Meyer twins. I had Max Meyer and Noble Meyer. And then I had Thomas White. So I had a trio of pitchers, which, if you all remember, that was very smart to do with the Marlins system entering 2024, because that's pretty much all they had produced positively. Still kind of is. So my big three this year, I've got Augustin Ramirez, because we got to talk about a catcher.
Obviously.
And Thomas White, who has gone from the third guy on that group to... There's a real, if Noah Schultz wasn't there, you could have a very good discussion about Thomas White as the best left-handed prospect in baseball right now.
Wow, dude.
So, and then my final one is another lefty prospect for them, Robbie Snelling.
And he's still alive?
Yeah, he is. And, you know, looked a lot better to end the year than he did. So those are my three. Augustin, the big thing for him, and I'll say over some guys that we're going to talk about here in a little bit, Augustin's likely going to play some major league ball this year, whether that's at first base or catcher. And this is a guy, you know, if you looked last year, he was a catcher that went 20-20. That's not very common. I wouldn't expect 20 steals out of him, but this is not a guy that he's a guy who you could probably feel okay expecting 10 out of. So,
okay. Well, that's exciting. I know catchers get us so fired up on this show.
Oh,
some more than others. If you don't know, Robbie has a disdain or, you know, maybe a frustration when it comes to catchers in fantasy. But let's hear if he's got one in his top three this year. Marlins prospects, top three, Robbie?
Yeah, so I'll recap last year, which was very similar. I had the Meyer Bros and Thomas White. It was very boring because it was predictable, and these were top picks and yada, yada. Max Meyer graduated from the list, as did a bunch of other guys who like date back. And I don't think that Sixto Sanchez actually did in innings, but I think he did in like time or something. Oh. But anyway, he's pitching in the Mexican League this year. So the slapdick prospect Xavier Edwards also graduated. I think Connor Norby did in both time and at bats.
Yeah. And Dane Matt Myers. Mervis, before they acquired him, was already
Matt Mervis. Right. Yeah. Good spring.
So
yeah, that's the other one. So I've gone back and forth with who I wanted to lead off with, and I'm going to go Griffin Conine just because, well, we mentioned it a little earlier. I think he's going to play a bunch, and we talked about him in an off-season pod where he's interesting. Now, he's not high ceiling, but this is somebody who's been successful as a power-type hitter. He's been able to steal bases in the minors. He also was part of a Toronto core. I forget if it was a double-A team that was good, and then he was traded to Miami and just kind of like got somewhat forgotten, didn't continue the trajectory of like one level a year. So anyway, he's up. I quite like him. Augustin Ramirez I do like as well. And then the other guy, as Ben had also mentioned, is Robert Snelling, or Robbie Snelling, I guess I should call him by his written name of Robbie. I have not seen Robert, but anyway,
not either.
21 for Snelling. You know, Ramirez is the big guy, like Ben mentioned. He's interesting because he should be their 2026 opening day catcher.
Mm-hmm.
Plus power, solid everywhere else. He came over in the Jazz Chisholm trade. He was the big piece back in that one. And then the other one that is the bonus mention on the big three and is Tyson De Los Santos, who we didn't mention. Just because like he shouldn't be in our next three, because last year everybody was excited about him because he was a Rule 5 pick and the hype train got out of hand here. So that's that. I don't have two notable pitchers, and Ben, you didn't have one from last year on. I'm interested to see if they get mentioned again.
Well, I did mention, yeah. Let's just say it won't be for a little while.
Yeah. I wondered.
Yeah, no.
I wondered. How old is that song? Like 70 years old?
Probably.
It's it's a 50s or 60s song, so.
Production's a little light today. I didn't get everything done I wanted to do, but we always got this beauty. Ben, give us your next big three for the Miami Marlins.
All right. Last year, I was highlighting Yiddy Capi, Dax Fulton, and Luis Cova, and I would like a mulligan on that trio. That was a not good year. Cova's not so bad, but still. PJ Morlando is the one I'm going to lead off with. This is a guy who, coming into the draft, a lot of folks said if he's 18 instead of 19 at the draft, he is very likely an easy middle of the first rounder or higher, and probably the best high school bat. But the issue was he was already 19. There's some swing and miss and things like that. But this guy could be a legit big power, big or solid average sort of guy in the corners, either first base or corner outfield, that type of bat. And frankly, the Marlins have like none of that. So then my next one, I have Starlin Cava, guy that they got from the Phillies, and he ran a lot more than I really thought he would do this last year. But it's almost as if he had trouble stealing first base. He hit .228 on the year. And that's
wow.
For a guy who I thought he would be kind of a contact guy that didn't have a ton of power but had okay speed, he ran a whole lot and didn't really hit for the contact that I thought he would. Now, mind you, this is a guy who was 18 and got his way into full season ball. So there's a lot to like there. I'm not 100% sold on him as a leadoff type, but if this is a guy in the bottom of your lineup and you're letting him kind of run wild, the one very, very positive thing still, 67 walks over 49 strikeouts. So walked more than he struck out last year, and the 49 strikeouts is, you know, what, 10, 11, 12% here. So that's a pretty solid rate. It's just the contact just wasn't what I expected this last year. So otherwise, there's a very good chance I would have had him a little higher, but he's getting blown up a lot of places. I think there's still a lot of wait and see right now. And then finally, Adam Mazur, who I'm going to bring up because he's a close to the major sort of guy. Very good chance he comes out of spring training with like their number five rotation spot, that or he's the first guy they call up from AAA. But that's probably as good as he's going to be as a number four, number five guy. But I also have to highlight that, you know, he went to South Dakota State. So that's always a bonus to anyone's name. So
is that the Jackrabbits or a different one?
Yes, that's Jackrabbits. And yes, Cabo was in the Lizardo trade.
Yeah, it's Mike Virginia checking in, our fellow Palazzo pal. Make sure you follow Mike on Twitter, @_MikeVA. He's got a big jersey giveaway coming up for Bozo Fest, which is our opening day eve big show. Roberts, even though we call you Robbie, I'll call you Robert. Why don't you give us your next big three for the Marlins?
Sure. Last year I had Fabian Lopez, switch hitting shortstop, who was from the 2023 J2 class. He's now taking a back seat in the next phase of the next three for us here. Dax Fulton, 24-year-old lefty starting pitcher. And I did have Victor Mesa Jr. on the list, who's now in AAA. There was Victor Mesa, if everyone remembers. This was his brother. The brother was the one who a few people had said that, you know, you went for the one and you were happy to get, you know, both in that transaction because you think that, you know, the other one had a higher floor, whereas Victor was unknown. What he could actually do, which so far has been zip, not a nothing. And Victor Mesa Jr. is now up. But this year, I have I have matched Ben with Starling Cabba. But I feel differently. I love the potential here with him. What my biggest fear is the lack of track record for position players with the Marlins. And this is an opportunity for them to do the Tampa Bay thing of you acquire a guy, do a thing and then get him up. And, you know, like you mentioned, Ben, elite eye, walks over K's, which is great. Can play the position. So let's just see if they can get him across the finish line. Obviously, he's going to be an A-ball this year. I'm assuming repeating A-ball, possibly promotion to high A. If he goes to high A, he'll be where my other two boys, Thomas White and Noble Meyer, were last year. Both were 2023 first round picks. Meyer was 10th overall, and White, who is now rated much higher, was the comp round. I forget if it was 31st, something like that. Both guys are looking good. White is looking good, but I have moved him from my big to my next simply because it seems like Miami is not going to be in a position to rush him up. And when we get into the extra guys, we're going to probably ramble off an entire rotation that's in front of him as far as on the organizational chart, not necessarily the talent chart, but the chart who are going to get a chance to, you know, be pumped and dumped, even, you know, bring him up and trade him away before we see White. So I think he's being not slow played, but he's being developed properly. Shocking.
Yeah.
Very good to see. And Noble Meyer as well. Same deal. Didn't have the amazing line, of course, but there's promise here. And that was first year pro. Last year was the first year pro for both guys. And we'll see if they are both promoted together this year to start maybe at high A, which I believe will be in Bill Lux, where I went last year to watch.
I'm in their double A spot.
They'll be Skycarp. Well, they'd be high A.
No. Oh, yeah. That'd be their high A.
That'd be high A. So, but we'll see. But either way, they're loaded when we get to extras. They are loaded up.
Are we there? Are we at the extras?
Yeah. I mean, we can be.
Yeah.
And for me, I will say I kind of blot over their pitching just because there is a lot of okay. The one that kind of really stuck out to me was Will Schomburg. Guy that they got from the Mariners in a deal last year. He was an undrafted free agent, and he's probably a swing man at best, or not at best, but a swing man, number five starter type, shorter guy, lives off of his off of his junk, and can really control all of his secondaries, but he's, you know, 91, 93. So he's probably a back end starter at the best, but that's that guy. He really intrigues me just because he rarely misses his spots. And that's impressive to watch on the pitching mound. I have a whole load of hitters, which is what I find really odd in this system, to have a whole bunch of hitters to highlight. And the first one is Robbie's favorite position, a catcher.
There's a second one?
There's a second one.
Is it Joe Mack? Is that your guy?
It is Joe Mack.
Yeah.
And one of the few catchers, you know, along, and me and Ramirez was another one, who hit 20 home runs and caught primary, or had catching as his primary position this last year in the minor leagues. But Mack is a borderline, if not an elite defensive catcher. Whereas Ramirez is still kind of trying to figure out the position to some degree. So there is a good chance that Joe Mack is that future catcher for them, which would mean you're talking kind of a Cal Raleigh type of profile here, low average, good power, excellent defender. That's what you're hoping for with Joe Mack. But man, is he took a big step forward. And folks, this is why when anyone tells you to rank a high school catcher, you laugh them in the face, because Joe Mack is the very rare guy who ever broke through as a catching prospect who was drafted out of high school as a catcher. And it took him some time. He needed a few years to kind of get the bat to catch up with the glove, because there's a lot of work you got to do to be a professional catcher behind the plate. And then it just takes time for that bat to catch up. And he got there, which is really, really stinking impressive. Luis Cova, I still mention him. He's 2024 international free agent. The speed is really fun, more walks than strikeouts, but there's a lot of work still to do there. I had him on my next last year. Dylan Head's another big speed guy that they got in a trade with the Padres. But has had injury stuff so far. Jacob Marcy, I thought he was an excellent fourth outfielder type, but he just kind of fell on his face.
Fall off a cliff.
Last year
was rough for him.
So, yeah. Now, the funny part is a 17th rounder from the 2023 draft, Mark Coley, really did everything you wanted Jacob Marcy to do.
Mark Coley the second, which maybe when he becomes more pronounced,
more well or
whatever,
known.
It'll be like Brent Honeywell Jr. All of a sudden, the junior came out.
Yeah, there you go. But this is his first full season. Plays solid defense, all three outfield spots, and double plus speed in that area, but also has above average raw power. There's swing and miss stuff, but he played through all of that last year, and that was... that was exactly what you wanted to see out of Marcy, and you didn't get to see that. You mentioned De Los Santos, a lot of power here. He had more home runs than walks over almost 600 plate appearances last year. Just so you know, folks, that's not good unless you are like, unless you're that's challenging Tim
Anderson numbers.
Unless you're challenging Barry Bonds for the single season home run record, that is not a good statistic to have more home runs than walks. And then finally, I got a few infielders here quick that are at low levels. Carter Johnson was their 24 draft pick. A lot of comparisons to Corey Seager in that he's a bigger left-handed hitting shortstop. Abraham Ramirez is another one that they got along with Augustin Ramirez. So they were really going after the Ramirez's when they got a hold of the Yankees. Abraham's a really kind of your high floor, low level infielder. Very similar profile to someone like Kevin McGonigal. A lot of bat to ball, good OBP, but probably a second baseman in the end. And then this offseason, they made a trade where they traded away Jake Berger, got a couple of solid players. And the one I really like is Max Acosta, showed very well. Gauvier might have gotten a chance to see him with the AFL, but good power speed combo and can work around the infield a little bit. But this is a guy who I think probably gets a chance if he produces again this year like he was doing last year. And he might see some major league time, which that's kind of undersold. You don't hear enough about him as a prospect for a guy who very well might get a chance to play some later in the year at the major league level.
Yeah, those guys end up being
Tony the Blind. Catchers, right? Catchers isn't the greatest in regards to superstars, according to Tony the Blind, but is it the last great high school catcher, Maurer?
Great one, yeah, but that's just the thing, is there probably aren't a whole lot of great ones in general that were drafted as high schoolers.
Matt Wieters?
I'm trying to, no, he came out of Georgia Tech.
To share his place.
Let's see here.
Justin Henry Molloy's place.
Actually, Tyler Stevenson is, I was going to say, I thought he was a high schooler.
Is he high school?
He was an 11th round pick out of high school in Georgia in 2015. But then again, there's a guy who he took multiple years to figure out the catching position, and the bat was kind of playing along the way. And then once he got settled in as a catcher, that bat really exploded. And that's when he kind of leaped up to the major leagues real fast. So
Chad says he's got an in on Juan de la Cruz. And Marlin source said it could be the best pitching prospect in their organization. We'll find out. That's why we do the show, Chad. Yeah. You call your shot. We're calling ours here on the Plotsom Podcast. Two L's, two Z's. Robbie, any additional leftovers on the Marlin system for you?
I don't think you said Graham Pauly.
No, he's that's one of the few hitters I didn't mention.
Yeah. He's Pauly, another Robbie? One who, in 2023, he looked great, poised, you know, like Marseille did. And then last year was recoiled back.
Those two traveled with the team last year. Mm-hmm. To their overseas game that they went to open the year, as did Jackson Merrill. And all three of them were guys who had no AAA time. And boy, did Jackson Merrill take a different route than those two the rest of the year. Because they really just kind of fell on their face after that initial series. And he took off.
Post-trade, Pauly only played 5 games. Yeah, so he ended up hurt. Yeah, I'm assuming the injury is what ended a bad season. So that was almost in his favor. But yeah, like you said, Ben, his first taste of AAA. So he was adjusting to it. And maybe this year is the year he comes back strong and we'll be happy to see it. I believe the next guy I've got is former first round pick. Yes, that's right. In 2022, 6th overall. And I remember this being somebody that fantasy owners were like, oh, yeah, here's a good power bat, college power bat, Jacob Berry. And I'm just updating everybody that his best season is still the one the year before he was drafted. So
yeah, just gonna say it was in college.
he peaked in 21, and like I'm just looking here at the line at double A and triple A. So this is Miami pushing him a little bit in a combined 477 at bats, 11 home runs, 14 stolen bases, 307 OBP, sub 240 batting average. And the line didn't change much from AA to AAA, which I guess you could say, is promising that a few things ticked up over, 91 AAA at-bats versus 386 at AA. But this is an important year for Barry and for fantasy guys out there. You're not giving up on them, but I think you should have already tempered your expectations way down. Yeah. So, the other one that I had, Jun-Suk Shim, gotta love them Asians, who career pro innings right now is, I mean, it looks a little smaller than it should be. It's 13, and that includes only five AFL innings last year. But this is somebody that the Pirates had, and he's only 20, play this year at 21. This is a project that is ideal to be with the Marlins, 6'4", 215 righty. From Korea. Let's see what they can do now that no one is really looking anymore because he hasn't been able to accumulate innings. So I'm interested to see with that one. It's a deeper play
this year too.
Yeah, that was the only innings he had this year.
And they were not good innings. So
no, they were not. But that was not pitching for the whole year. And
yeah,
here you go against, depending on the competition. And again, who was throwing to you. So the Marlins are really interesting. They could graduate 8 more guys this year. Chad's asking about Salas. Where's my note on
there? Are multiple Salases to discuss.
So
their top IFA guy this year was a Salas, and they also have another Salas in their system. So it all depends which Salas you want to talk about.
If we're talking about the J15 Salas, I would like to reference you to most of their other J15 signings, which you'll note are not discussed because they have not done a good job with those guys. Cabba is their guy. Well, I mean,
great job.
Their guy. Cabba is the guy that has risen to the top of that. There was another pitcher here that I had further back. Where is he? Oh, this is just more to mention as like fantasy filler. Patrick Monteverde, 27-year-old lefty. So 2021, he was an 8th-round pick, so he was old for his draft year. But he didn't he appear already? Oh, it was Fall League last year where he was getting set up, and he did not so great with the 12.67 ERA. But he could be a fillings guy. I think that was the talk last year, was that he might end up being like their SP6 guy, and it didn't come together. So, they've got so many. I would love to see them graduate a bunch of dudes this year, and we just see guys that stick, get hot and stick around, and then they just kind of nix it off because they are solidifying themselves in a few spots, which is nice to see.
Yeah.
You know, they're not doing the veteran signing thing that so many other teams do. They've got 25, 24, 27, 29, 26, 26, 27, 29, 28 year olds in their estimated starting lineup and no 30 plus year olds at all. Wow. So
they are at least giving the kids a chance.
You
have to appreciate that about what this Marlins team is doing, because that has been an issue for them in the past. Now,
who do you think, if you haven't looked, if you haven't looked, guys, who do you think is the oldest player on the roster, estimated roster?
Starting lineup or
Jonah Bride?
Starting line as just anybody that you think
older than Bride
on the team, any opening day player who's going to get announced. They don't have to you know, throw out a pitch or pinch run or whatever. But just who do you think is the oldest guy? I heard Jonah Bride.
I would almost think that there's got to be a reliever somewhere that they've got.
It's Cal Quantrill.
Anthony Bender.
Oh, Quantrill. Oh, okay.
He's 30 in a month. It's him and Anthony Bender. I would not have thought the oldest player on the Marlins just turned 30.
Yeah.
Like, that's a change for this organization to be doing that.
It's a good one. Oh. It's a good change for that.
I'm looking. And then
let's hope they stick to their guns.
We didn't even say Liam Hicks, the Rule 5 pick that they took from Detroit. We'll have to see what goes right. It does appear as though he could stick as their backup catcher, which is a good move to let your other boys that we talked about earlier work it out at AAA.
Okay.
Marlins, there you go. Interesting. Who would have thought?
Marlins! What a time to be alive.
You have two of the better systems in the game as our first two systems tonight. So that's a pretty solid way to start things off.
Utah. Two systems, two L's, two Z's. Give me two. Follow Benjamin, like Chase, and Robbie online. Our Discord is free. You can follow me over there, Twitter, whatever. Blue Sky. There's even an Instagram, Palazzo Podcast. If you never checked it out, we do have an Instagram. I try to get to as many areas as I can on any given day when we post stuff. And one of the annoying things about trying to post from YouTube to Instagram is if I do a regular video, then I have to resize it for the Instagram shorts.
Oh, yeah.
So if it's a YouTube short, it fits easily into Instagram. It's just another step that you got to do some work at people behind the scenes. You have no idea. So let's move into number two then. Brewers are on the clock. The Milwaukee Brewers, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love the Brewers logo. I love the Brewers colors. I've always been a fan of the Brewers overall. Just as a team, they're a lot of fun. I know they got a lot of talent, Ben.
It's going to be a tough year for the Brewers because your first full year without Uke at the call is going to be a tough year for Brewers fans. Not listening to Bob Uecker every day.
It's true.
You know,
I miss you, Bobbo.
He's going to absolutely be missed.
They call him Bobbo? I don't know if they did.
I don't know about that.
Who's your top three? Who was it last year, Ben? Who's your top three brewers this year?
So last year I had Jackson Churio, and we can, you know, ding, ding, ding and stop right there. But
nailed it.
Unfortunately, I had also had Jacob Mizorowski and Tyler Black on there. Which were not as great of calls, although, you know,
not double black.
Let's just say that this year I decided that I'm going to continue my misery, Mizorowski. He's in my one of my big three, and then I have another catcher, Jefferson Romero, because of course, you know, we got to talk about catchers, and then. Well, since everyone else is, I guess I'll talk about Jesus Mate. Again, DSL only guys, I really struggle jumping up the way that that he has been jumped up this year. But
we can write a book on it.
Oh yeah!
Thank you, Jesus.
Yep,
exactly.
That's true.
And to be frank, I was told by a guy that I've trusted down in the DR for a number of years that when he got to see that Brewers team, there was a different player who was the best looking player on the field. So
you trying to say Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
Well,
I'm not saying that.
I mean,
not me.
Jesus may not. And we'll just find out, I suppose. but so those are my big three, and you know, we can get into more about Mate if we really want to. I'm good with not having that discussion. But everybody's talking about Mate. So
they are.
Fun thing about fantasy baseball, there's no regrets. Last year, my big three, I also hit the home run with Churio. I also ground out twice. Mine was Tyler Black. And the other was Carlos Rodriguez, the starting pitcher, who I was so excited to see him get an opportunity early enough in the year, but it didn't come together, and they sent him back down after, I think, three starts or four starts. It was like 12 innings, something like that. It was not good. He went back down his whole year. I think confidence was shot. I've been desperately trying to find a picture of his girlfriend, just trying to get some more research on what we can expect this year for him, because he is only 23 years old. And still prospect eligible. But I did not put him back on the list this year. I did repeat Tyler Black. I guess it's more like a punishment thing for me, because my whole Milwaukee list to me is a bunch of guys that are going to disappoint us. Because, of course, I have a catcher. I have Kiro as well on this list. But he's blocked by the best one in baseball, or specific fantasy baseball. So we have to really temper expectations outside of a trade for him to get an trade or injury, for him to get an opportunity, and then, of course, to stick. But as a 22-year-old, he's right there knocking on the door, which is cool. I love
rumors.
Yeah, I do have Mizorowski as well, because I think he is minor pitching adjustments away from being able to make a run of good starts, and then teams might figure him out. But at Major League, pitching coach or however they go about it once he's up may be able to help him sustain success. And we've seen them go through it. You know, Corbin Burns was a case 4 or 5 years ago where he was up and down and they battled it, which is why I'm also giving Carlos Rodriguez a second chance at being able to be
successful. I've made a huge mistake.
Yeah, they might have to put both Mizorowski and Rodriguez in the bullpen to get them right eventually, if they want to do it at the MLB level. Yeah. And I do have two throw-ins here. One is Vinny Capra, who came off waivers from Pittsburgh. And Ben, we talked about him catch-up show. And he's 28 years old. So waivers in 2023. So he played all last year in the minors. He is having a huge spring training. And the more interesting part, zero options left. So he is either going to go on someone's opening day roster somewhere in Major League Baseball and get 2 weeks worth of playing time because there's an injury somewhere, or he's going to be on Milwaukee's bench and we'll see what he can actually do, what's realistic. And then I do have Caleb Durbin, because I figured he wasn't in my next three. I'm just going to mention it. He was hyped all the offseason. I almost feel like over the course of this offseason, Durbin went from being really exciting in Dynasty to kind of like, yeah, we know, but he doesn't have a starting job. Right, he was traded from the Yankees, and he's looking like he's going to be a bench bat. So
I was not impressed with him. I really saw a lot of him at AFL, like more than any player. Mm-hmm. I really remember seeing Durbin field and hit, and I was like, what's so special about this guy? I mean, not that he's bad. It's just like, I don't know if there's a lot exciting going on here, Ben.
He's not an exciting guy. And that's kind of the whole point that I
it's think. It's like a Milwaukee thing.
A little bit. Yeah. He's
not in a bad way. Just,
Before he... Before he got... or had the steals that he did last year, Bryce Turang was exactly that guy. Like, really solid glove, but you didn't see it as exceptional as it ended up showing last year. But offensively, he was just kind of a guy. And then he goes out and steals 50 bases and is arguably the best middle infield defender in the game. It's just he took the defense up another level and then figured out that, hey, I can use that speed for other things. But, gotcha. You know, between Ortiz and Durbin, and I don't know what they're going to do with shortstop third base. I mean, I think Durbin's arm is a little bit stretched at third. But they haven't run out at all during spring, which is one of the things I was looking for to happen, where they would run Durbin at second and then Turang at short, Ortiz at third. Because that would be a really solid infield defensively. Might not hit the most home runs by any means, but it could be a really, really interesting infield profile. But they haven't done it all spring. I highly doubt they're just going to say, you know what? Yeah, we haven't done this all spring. Let's throw that out for our starting opening day lineup. You know, that's just not going to happen. But I would be really surprised if Caleb Durbin is not in Milwaukee on opening day.
Wow.
Okay. But I think it's going to be I don't know if he's going to be starting or if the fact that he can play all around the infield is going to have him a spot as a backup. Because that's kind of the profile I always thought he would be a solid second base, third base, outfield, utility sort of guy with some good speed. And anyway. We've talked way too long on essentially a boring guy. So,
but that'll happen.
So, no.
Player Jose Anderson?
No. The one that I was talking about down in DSL, actually, I think Joe mentioned it. It was Luis Pena.
Okay.
We'll talk about him some more. They kind of had two real stud infielders that they signed. Pena was one, Mate was the other.
Pena can't play first. He's been traded to Detroit.
I gotta hit that drop.
Anybody?
Yeah, Moneyball. We know it.
Come on.
Yeah. All right. So Ben, who is your top three from the Brewer system then?
So my top three were Mizorowski, Jefferson Caro, and Jesus Mate. Which, yeah, I mean Caro. Downfall for him is you're talking about a guy who's probably going to be double A and is 21, I believe, this year.
Did 22. I say top three? I meant next big three, by the way.
Okay.
You didn't want to recap, Covier?
You didn't want to recap? Okay.
I love a recap. Recaps keep me – you know, the audience loves recaps because sometimes it's hard for them to follow along if they miss a moment. So, the live chat's like
– Since we were talking about Caro, he was one of my next three last year. I had him, I had Robert Gasser, and I had Cooper Pratt. And, you know, Gasser looked like a smart choice, and then elbow went boom. Milwaukee, my next three this year, I have Cooper Pratt back there again. Certainly done nothing to dissuade that. Eric Batante, who has really stepped up as I hate ever saying a guy that young is a high floor guy, but he's the type of guy who you're almost certain this is a future major league player when you watch him. And then the last one is one of their picks this year, and just because he is a freaking tool shed and fun to watch on video, and that is Braylon Payne, an outfielder that they drafted this year. Really, really fun to watch his video.
Ooh, okay. I know Ben always leads off the additional ones, so we got to hear Robbie's first, and then we'll go back to Ben for the additionals. But I want Robbie's next big three.
So last year I had Mizorowski. I had... I did the J15 thing, okay? Because that was the whole point of Milwaukee's system was to magically hype guys because it's like, oh, you did well at the DSL? Welcome to A-ball, you know? Don't worry about the complex. Mm-hmm. So I went with Luis Lora, a 19-year-old outfielder from the 2022 class, and I went with Filippo Dottori, who was a 17-year-old from the 2023 class, and I'm not talking about those guys. And I already mentioned Mizorowski, so we'll call him good because he went up. I have put Jesus Made where he belongs, Ben, which is in the next three. You did big
three. Thank
you,
Jesus!
I went next three because I don't see how they will possibly rush him up with their infield as clogged as you've already mentioned tonight.
You would think, but yeah.
Well, I mean, 2 years ago, it looked like they had five potential prospect outfielders, not counting Churio, who could all, you know, make it work, college hitters and things like that. And they have all shuffled and whatever, injury, whatever. Their stock has all changed. Plus that, what's the name of that guy that won the MVP? I don't remember. Anyway, Milwaukee was good in the outfield. So yeah, it's changed. But I don't think that with Made, they're gonna be pushing as
It'll
hard.
It'll come back to you.
Okay. Murdered A-ball. Or sorry, murdered
Great job. PSL.
Everyone's excited. He's going to go to A-ball. Milwaukee has that recent history of J-15 guys, so we understand it. So one of the other guys that was not as highly hyped but was up there last year for Milwaukee based on Churio success, the next guy up was Yofiri Rodriguez. He's on my next three because he did go to A-ball, and he did not light the world on fire, but he did not fall flat on his face. Yeah. I can see that being what May does this year. They're both together. And then I also have Cooper Pratt because I'm now drinking that Kool-Aid. He looks real good. It's two shortstops, and you only need one, and they've already got, you know, that elite defender, and they've got that other guy that's going to get at bat. So Milwaukee's in an excellent spot for a development at the lower level.
Before we talk any Brewers further, let's take a quick break here on the Palazzo Podcast. Who else?
Utah. Geez.
Thanks for watching live and listening on the podcast feed. If that's you, we'll be right back after this.
This is Ed 209, the future of law enforcement in old Detroit. You must rate and review the Palazzo Podcast with 5-star rating. You have 20 seconds to comply.
At Tanger Outlets, find all the best brands all on sale every day. Step into the season's newest arrivals and save big on the styles you love. Shop Under Armour, Michael Kors, Crocs, and more. With up to 70% off, plus an extra 25% off for a limited time. Hurry in for amazing deals from the brands you love. Only at Tanger Outlets.
Oh, boy.
You know, so my dad's high school best friend used to come, or still does, come hunting on my dad's farmland every year for pheasant season every year. And my birthday is always right around the opening day of pheasant season. So he would always bring me something for my birthday every year. He worked at a beer distribution company. And so some of the fun things once I got to my teen years is he would bring me beer advertisements, which, as you know, in for many moons in the 90s were lots of scantily clad women. But alongside them, I had a poster of the Budweiser frogs. So hanging proudly in my bedroom.
I threw up when I saw that commercial for the first time in my life. I'm not kidding. It was Super Bowl 49ers Chargers. I'm clear as day. 1995. First time I ever saw this commercial. I was over at my friend Joel Frederick's house. Shout out to Joel, if you're out there still listening, buddy. And I saw that commercial. I was taking a drink of Coke, and I thought it was so funny that I spit it out, choked on it, and I puked. I puked because I got so caught up in the laughter on their living room carpet floor. I was a guest. As a 14-year-old, you met when a 14-year-old comes over and pukes on your carpet who's not your kid, boy, that's really got to be a bummer. Because even if your kid does it, that's a bummer. But that really happened. I thought it was the funniest thing I ever saw in my life. And you get that mid-drink sip, it got me. Got me all the way. Great job, Budweiser. You nailed it.
So, hey, Robbie, well, you can open up with the extras this time. Yeah,
sure. I'm gonna have to circle back on my final guy because I only roster him in one league, and the page isn't loading. And that was somebody that the Brewers drafted late in last year's draft that I've got my eye on for this year. There isn't really any documentation other than, like, you know, crushing everybody he pitched against in high school. So Mike VA, have a lovely evening or rest of evening.
Good night, so, yeah, Mike.
Again, I think that this is What was it?
Josh Adamczewski?
No, it was like HERS. Okay. HERS. It was like he got like an $800,000 bonus. On my, that's why I said I'll look it up after. But but yeah, so you mentioned Braylon Payne last year. I had him. It's not, I mean, to me, it's not crazy. Like Bitone, Eric Bitone, the 19-year-old third base prospect who was drafted in 23 in the third round. That's somebody that I got an eye on. It was fine last year at rookie in A-ball, 283, 402 OBP, 946 OPS. Meow, love it, 16 home runs, 12 stolen bases. And where was my other guy? We did not mention Logan Henderson, right?
No, we did not.
No, okay, that was it. So he had a really good 23. Last year was injury-riddled. I think he's kind of fallen back a little bit as far as like what we could reasonably expect from him. But I'm going to try to continue to give Milwaukee credit for being able to develop until they show me they can't. And he could come back this
anyone,
year. He did pitch at AAA. Go ahead, please.
If there's anyone in that system who can maybe claim they have a changeup on par with Devin Williams, that would be the guy right there.
Oh, okay.
He has
so far, he's just started.
Good changeup. So, yeah, yep.
Is it a kick change?
That's kind of the new fancy dancy thing. You know, everyone has a sweeper. Right. Now everyone's got a kick change.
All year long.
So
yeah, 81 in a third innings last year, 104 Ks, a decimal 9.1 whip, which I just love. And I think I said 104 Ks. Yeah, and only 15 walks. So things that I really like. But again, I don't think this isn't somebody getting hyped. I think this is somebody that's just good. And then Brock
Wilkins.
Brock Wilkins is the only other one that's kind of interesting because he was a love or hate guy in in the 2023 draft. For anybody who was 18th overall, and power wise, it's been fine. 17 last year between two levels, finished in the AFL, but it wasn't great. But he is not coming across as somebody I am interested in anymore. No. But as far as the dynasty minds out there go, like, you can't get rid of him because you can't imagine you got him any later than your second round if you're in a league of 20 or more. Yeah. So you're holding and crossing those fingers that he's going to come around. So I'm going to go find my pitcher, Ben.
So
I just want to get Tony's comment real quick. Yeah. He said, I didn't see that commercial in forever. Then I worked for a bud distributor for 23 years. Now I live in Australia. Glad we could take you back in time, Tony, 30 years later.
So I wanted to mention, just because it's one of those things, because we were talking about Kappa, I watched some Brewers spring training games recently, and Tyler Black. And
yeah,
last year he altered his swing because, you know, Tyler Black was a guy who was a 10-15 home run guy with really good speed, but it was more
outstanding play discipline.
Yeah. And last year still had the walks, but he altered his swing to try and go yard more often, and it did not go so well for him. His strikeout rate went through the roof. He struggled to make contact. His swing is back what it was, and that could be a really big thing for him. So something to keep an eye on. Mike
Bovier?
Yeah.
Oh, that might be it. You would know, eh, Bovier?
But he was a second rounder in 23 out of Nebraska. I think this guy is just, to me, a spitting image of Jeff Cirillo at third base. Just kind of a steady Eddie, does everything well, plays excellent defense. And he's played some double-A ball enough that I think, you know, they're looking for a third baseman. I would not surprise me at all if he ends up factoring into that position. Now, he's not as flashy as some of the other guys that he's got. Or the other guys that they have, you know, like the Cooper Pratts and the Eric Bitonte, who are kind of profiling as a third baseman, but they're more shortstops moving over there. He's kind of a third base, and like the position on there says, if he doesn't work at third, he's got to move across the infield. He doesn't have that kind of ability defensively, but it's very solid. It's kind of one of those, every play that he's supposed to make, he makes. He's not going to make flashy plays at third base, but he doesn't miss anything. The other one, a couple other hitters here. Blake Burke that they drafted this year, I think he has really gone under the radar as a big power guy. Very good. Very good contact ability. Kind of your Nick Kurtz light, but you can get him about three rounds later than Nick Kurtz in your fantasy or in your first year player draft this year. So, you might get the same, a similar value out of Burke as you're hoping to get out of Kurtz in 5 years from now. And you got to spend three extra draft picks on someone else and still get that value. So, Adamczewski, Josh Adamczewski.
Yeah, see, I just don't pronounce the names. I think I'm going to struggle with.
He was a 15th.
It's your calling card, man.
he was a 15th round pick in 23 out of high school in Indiana, and really good plate skills. Everything else is just kind of average to just a little above average, but one of those guys that you kind of watch him and you're just like, yeah, this would work. And, you know, kind of along the lines of Lee. Why can't I think of his first name in the Tiger system? The second baseman.
Oh,
like,
The guy from Philly, right? Lee.
Yeah. No, that's you. How you Lee?
Yeah, but he's, something like, and we're going to sound terribly racially insensitive because we're, messing up that name and we're going to remember other guys. But
the Lorenzo trade from Philly, that guy, right?
Yes. And yeah, he's okay. A very similar profile, not a lot special about his profile, but a lot of.
Thanks, Joe.
There we go. Thank you, Joe. But a lot of good. Yeah. So not how you lean. But
all right. That's pretty close.
We did mention
great job.
Luis Pena. I like him a lot, at least on the same vein as Mate, in that let's see what he does coming stateside this year. But you know that because he's a high-profile guy, he's not going to see a moment of Arizona complex ball. He's going to go straight to A-ball and sink or swim. Bishop Letson is a 11th round pick, also out of high school in Indiana. They apparently went after the high school in Indiana folks the third day of 23. Really had a strong first full season, lanky frame, could fill in a little more. I found this interesting. He's added 10 miles an hour of top-end velocity since he was a junior in high school. So over the last 2 years, he's added 10 miles an hour to his fastball. Was a guy who wasn't really getting recruited at all. And then it was an 11th round pick by the time he got done with high school and added up another few notches. He's now touching 98, 99 on the radar gun and has always had excellent secondary stuff. Damn! So that could be one of their next, guys to consider. And we got to mention Craig Yoho and Casey Hunt.
There it is.
Yoho, I think the absolute world of him is a reliever, but that's what he is. He's just a reliever, which, there's limited value there unless you're closing for fantasy for us. But the raw stuff is just, it's fun to watch. I mean, hitters look stupid trying to hit him.
101 Ks in 57 innings. Yeah. Nice.
Oh, it looks absolutely like that. Hunt is the other guy. He's got more of a diverse, as in like three pitches, probably four if you want to really squint. And they are still not 100% sold on him out of the bullpen. They used him as a starter last year quite a bit. So I think his future is in the bullpen. And I am very interested to see how Casey Hunt could potentially, so those two guys could potentially both end up in the Brewers bullpen this year. So anyone who's really hoping for those Joel Piamps holds might Pamps. Be in trouble.
Piamps! I miss Piamps.
So
I thought about Piamps in a while. Okay. We were in a combat, Ben, and I don't know how it's taken this long. I'm sure you've heard this before, but not so silent majority wants to do a giveaway to guess the accurate measurement of your neck size. Custom shirts or off the rack dress shirts would not Ben mad at me, or would not want Ben mad at me or anyone in my bloodline.
So, folks, I played. I was a college football player back when I was much leaner. And still at that point, I could not buy anything off the rack as far as your normal size dress shirts for neck size. That was the reason.
Wow.
I had to go and get a specific, I had to go to like your men's warehouse, and then they had to sell me up, like get me shirts that were custom done. And
Wow, you know, dude.
Things, yeah. neck has always been a very, so, you know, some ladies talk about how thick they are. I'm just like, you know, hey, I'm thick, you know, just.
You don't need a question.
Own it, girl.
Own it, girlfriend.
I never also, have. I really don't need to worry about ever being strangled because, I mean, come on. Who's going to be able to get their hands around this mess? I mean, just to say.
I think a lot of people would love to get their hands around that.
Right now. Hey now. Jeez.
Got to get you guys a lot more subs, says Not So Silent Majority. Great show. That's right. You're saying what we've been saying for like 5 years here, brother. So we love having you. You guys make the show. There's no show without you guys. It really isn't. People say that, but our show, we want it to be interactive, and we want to hear from you and have conversations, disagreements. Shout out Sync 31, wherever you are. So we welcome all that. Thank you so much. All right.
I've got two final brewers that I didn't mention. Tyler Renz, who I'll get to in a second. But the other one that I have been scooping up in Dynasty this offseason is Brewer Hicklin, who is like ready to go bench bat in that outfield before you get into, you know, guys that you've got more invested in. So he's had a couple years at AAA. He had a good year. I would say a very good year in 22 in Omaha. What was it, 28 home runs, 35 stolen bases in 23. That was when he was with Kansas City. Then I believe he was traded the next year, had time with Philly and KC, and then I think he signed last year with Milwaukee as a free agent. I'm not positive on that one, but it also doesn't matter because he's still in the organization for this year. Yep. And although he hasn't got the MLB time, he's got the opportunity, and at age 28, now is the time. And if it doesn't come together, then this could be somebody who could go to KBO to try to just like continue that career for himself. But he steals a ton of bases, and he has been doing it for years. So I think he's a safe bet as a guy to put in. I don't honestly, and I apologize, I don't know how great the defense is. Serviceable enough, I guess. But the reason I'm bringing that up is that he might not be valid as a bench bat to come in like the seventh inning, you know, when the guy gets on first to try to run around the bases and get him in. But like the power is there. He's got a solid eye. The OBP has consistently been in and around 350. Last year, 363. I really think he's interesting. And then a project of projects. I know we're giving Milwaukee love on the J2 guys, but at the same time, they draft very intelligently, which Ben and I did discuss way back after the draft signing deadline had passed and we broke down a bunch of teams. I remember my semi that I had for the moves that the Brewers had made. And Renz here, I've got the notes. I'm going to hold the mic like I've never done this before. He is a graduate. Are you ready of this school, guys? Velo U. So that is like a place where you go to get more better at throwing the baseball. And in one session, I was able to watch a video where he went from throwing 87 to 93.3. On video, I could see they discussed the changes that he had. And that was before his senior year. And it was at that point that he realized he kind of needed to like dedicate himself to this. So he ended up with, he's an East Coast guy, Fox Lake, New York. Tyler Renz, R-E-N-Z.
Tyler Renz.
He was a 17th, 18th round pick of the Brewers last year. 6'4", 190, right-hander. That's the only bad thing about him, right-hander, not left. Oh. High spin rate. With that height, he's got a good vertical angle. He's got three pitches that are noted. And this was like a few scouting reports cobbled together. He's done some interviews where he talked about his pitching as well. So I kind of, you know, like that more. The fastball last year averaged 92. But as I mentioned, he was able to get it up preseason 93. Throwing with, you know, all the guys behind, you know, those videos where guys are yelling, go do it. That's how he did it. But yeah, slider, yeah. Curve. He calls his slider a cutter. The changeup is the pitch, of course, in pro ball he needs to develop if he's going to be consistent. And this is a really cool get for a team that does have a history of being able to make prospects into major leaguers. So that is a dart throw of a dart throw right there. I've picked him up in my deepest dynasty league, and he's a radar guy. Oh, there you go. Yeah. I like it.
Great 4K video too. Wow.
He looks like he is ready for 2 years at Complex.
What the heck? Okay,
what? I'm sorry. That was so awkward. Yeah. I don't know why it caught me off guard, but it was kind of funny.
We all need to make videos like that for
where you slow-mo turn to the camera.
Like slow-mo turn. Yeah. Like, hello.
Yeah. That's like spring training stuff right there. So,
yeah.
But I mean, you can see in his face the youth, right? He's a greasy face with the acne, but like this looks like he could be a guy. And again, you can do this with a lot of prospects who do video, do a lot of interviews and stuff like that. You can get really excited about a guy like this, but I just looking at it from a long ways away, he's a guy who was going to go to college. Obviously somebody somewhere else wasn't getting the money they were planning to, and he was sitting around and took, I think, $800,000 to sign. So, cool project.
Hicklin is a guy, and I was trying to remember who it was that he reminded me of. It's Lewis Brinson.
And wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Everyone's going to run away.
Tools for days. Woo. But it's like he couldn't translate it. What I will say is, I hadn't even looked at, I hadn't realized I'd seen that he went 2040 last year. I did not realize he has picked up his walk rate to the point where it was about 12% last year. That is something he was never doing before. Still strikes out plenty, but was picking up that walk rate is something that Brinson never figured out. So he's at least got that ahead of Brinson. So.
Wow.
But yeah, he's always been a tool shed. And I was like, you know, there's a former Brewer outfielder that I thought the very same thing about. And anyway, yeah.
Beautiful.
I hate that comparison.
I know you do.
I mean, hope Brinson it goes so was much like better. A top
10 like, prospect at one point, though.
Yeah. I mean, you know. These guys are all through the minors, right? And then they go from 24 to 27. And you're like, wait, why hasn't it come together yet? And then, you know, most of the time, 2 years later, they're in KBO or they Patrick Wisdom and have a few years in the show and then end up in KBO. It just seems to be the way it goes for a lot of these guys.
Which this could be what happens with Hicklin is, you know, maybe he's that type of guy that at 27, 28, something clicked and now he can at least get on base enough to where he can make the power speed work.
Right. But, and you get this great counsel like right? Like, you know, if he comes up and counsel's like, I got a spot for you, I think you can do this, and you do it.
Counsel, then he's got to do it with the Cubs.
Sorry. Oh, Jesus.
I thought Robbie was just kidding when he said that, so I didn't correct him.
Been fun with
him. I thought he was just flashing back
too many spring training
videos. Pat Murphy is the manager.
It was the counsel. So I screwed up because I was watching the counsel thing talking about that play to first where they did the switch, the pinch runner, and whoever it was that got the walk didn't touch first. It was spring training, guys. I'm looking at trying to find baseball. It was
figuring it out.
Whoopsie daisy.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, we've done the Brewers, right? That's the Brewers. There you go. A Brewers organization. We got one to go here. The New York Mets here on the Palazzo Podcast. Two L's, two Z's. Make sure you follow us everywhere.
Utah.
Discord's free. Everything's in our description of every video. Just click the link. Be a part of things. Check out all the other Next Big Threes we've done, too. We've done several of them already. And just last year, these are shows that have value the following year. Go back and watch our 2024. We have all 30 teams from last year, the year before that. You can see where we get on the right track. What has changed? Was Lewis Brinson on one of these lists 3 years ago? You know, I'm sure when he first came up, people had him on lists all over the place. So not your list, but.
So Craig Counsell, when he first started managing the Brewers, managed Lewis Brinson. So
it's an easy mistake to make, guys. It's an easy mistake to make.
It's been a long time ago. All right.
So on to the Mets, Ben. Yeah, let's do it.
So the Mets last year, I had Hyperjet Williams, I had Drew Gilbert, and I had Ryan Clifford as the big three for them. This year, I have Jet repeating on that list, I have added Brandon Sproat, and I guess I do have Ryan Clifford repeating on there as well. So I'm really unoriginal, because in large part because injuries took away two of my three from potentially having a chance to earn some major league time and not be eligible this year. So, it's a system that really didn't see a ton of major league growth out of its system last year, but they really had a lot of guys step up, and we'll get into some more of that as we keep going here.
We can laugh about it now. We're all right.
That's a good one.
Canada's finest. All right, Robbie.
Yeah, so last year, I similar to you, Ben, Drew Gilbert, I had Jet Williams, and I had Luis Ayala and Acuna. I was excited for Acuna last year. He did get up. Defense speed, base running, complemented the bat. Triple A was good, got a big league debut out of it thanks to a Lindor injury. And I just don't know where he plays, in the future. I don't know what they're going to do with him, because they've just locked it in. Whatever they do, I don't care. He's talented. I hope they find at bats for him. I'm repeating Jet Williams. Like you said, Ben, he only had 33 games last year with the wrist surgery. Excuse me, that was in June. A handful of games at AAA before the AZL, and then a second injury, sprained. What was it that he sprained?
Yeah.
I have it written down here. Sprained something on his body. But he's fine this year. So, and then the other guy that I'm adding to the list, because I'm dropping Gilbert, and I'm going with Ronnie Mauricio, who lost 24
injury. I was just
going
to say, injury. Yeah.
Another injury one.
Exactly. And I think he finds a way to the MLB bench for the Mets this year. They have a lot of pieces, veteran guys. They don't have center field sorted out. Not that that's where he goes. That could be Acuna too. But Jose Siri and Tyrone Taylor in center field as a platoon where Siri is low average and Taylor, they're very similar, confusing players. Siri's got speed and power at times, and Taylor is a really solid, bench outfielder type guy who you can put in and gets on runs. But they don't have that solid guy. Maybe one of these guys could convert positions, because the Mets have everybody else on 9-year deals. So it is a little tricky with the Mets on the big three end, because I don't know how they're getting in outside of, you've got Swarat, which I think, he was an excellent pitcher last year in the minors, and he could find a spot, but that's because everybody's arms fall off. So
going back to our old episodes, Donovan's checking in, one of our old pals here at Palazzo. What are your thoughts on Alexander Canario, who he's already kind of gone through the motions, right? And now he signs a minor league deal with the Mets, correct?
Yeah, mostly because the Cubs just didn't have room for him when they signed, was it Turner? That they dropped him.
Yeah.
I think that was who it was.
At least in that area.
Canario won't appear on either list here. But I assumed he wouldn't appear tonight.
Canario would have been in my extra guys on the Cubs if we were having that discussion. He's last year, if you wanted to put it coming into the year, you had Owen Casey, you had Kevin Alcantara, and you had Alexander Canario, and Canario is probably he was on the 40 man already because he had to be, which meant that he was probably going to get the first shot. But what the Cubs ended up doing with him is bringing him up, I think, three times, and he got maybe one plate appearance total. So he made it up to the majors multiple times without really ever showing what he can do.
17 and 23, that's what he had, and 25 last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, they brought him up. They really never used him, which it's hard to really show what you can or can't do when you don't get used. And so when it got to the point that, then this offseason they had to add, I believe, Casey and Alcantara both are now on the 40-man. So when you get into that kind of a stretch and you don't want to lose one, you got to give up somebody. And so he ended up being the odd duck out. I think that there's something there, but it's one of those where now he's going to a team that has Brandon Nimmo for some reason in a corner outfield spot locked in, and then also has Juan Soto in the other corner outfield spot locked in. So there's not going to be a whole lot of places for him to truly get that opportunity with the Mets, but well,
but yeah. Starling Marte's there. You've got Jesse Winker there. Like you are blocked.
Oh, it's yeah.
Like, he is blocked. Lewis Brinson. You know, he could very well.
Oh,
except
no.
not his speed. But yeah.
But yes. Yeah. Can't trust right, right. But as far as like disappointment of somebody who we had yep. high hopes for, and with Canario, might just be that he doesn't get the opportunity. He might have to go find the highest level playing time in another like in another league in order to get back to MLB. So it's possible.
Can't do it.
Okay. All right, Ben, who's your next big three in the Mets system?
Well, last year, big Apple. I had Ronnie Mauricio, I had Luis Angel Acuña, and who I believe was my best call of my next three here was Christian Scott, who before his elbow popped was on his way to really doing some nice things for that Mets club.
Damn right.
But this year, I've got Mauricio in there, I've got Drew Gilbert in there, and then I decided to throw in one of their draftees this year because I really liked him before he just crapped the bed in his final college year, and that's Jonathan Santucci, who very likely was a top 10 pitcher before the college season started last year and then just had such an inconsistent and not good year that he ended up just falling way down the board. The Mets have done a really solid job with college arms and especially like top end program college arms. So they tend to really like SEC arms.
They did draft a guy from Drew. Originally.
Yeah. Well, and in Santucci actually, a former guest of ours would have worked with him previously. Our man Brian over at was at he now works with Duke's baseball program.
Oh yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah. Perfect Game guy.
Yes,
yeah.
There we go. Was with Perfect Game but Santucci, you know, so that's an ACC school. So yeah, not SEC, but still along the lines of what the Mets tend to work with fairly well and help a guy like that break down. So I have some level of confidence that the Mets will at least get him to a decent place. They may not get him to that point where he was hype-wise before the season started last year, but if they can, you know, he's a solid enough lefty. If they can get a mid-rotation lefty out of that, that's a pretty solid return on investment where they were able to draft him. So
absolutely. Robbie, next big three Mets for you.
Yeah, last year I cheated. I had five. I had Dominic Hamill, a pitcher, 21 third rounder. I had Franklin Gomez, a lefty pitcher, 17, 18-year-old, who was an A-ball. I had Christian Scott. I had Jeremiah Jackson because I just needed everybody to understand that there was potential with this guy. Now he is falling in line with the not going to get an opportunity. And then Blake Tidwell I also had on my list. So for this year, I'm repeating Scott, and it's valid because he's off with Tommy John surgery. It's possible, I don't know, but it's possible he'll end up in the AFL for some innings because it will have been, you know, more than a year at that point. I think it'll be like 14, 15 months. Whether they do that or not, I don't know. But then it's going to be AAA, and it's going to be 2026 mid-late season. They're going to have to do that easy, you know, ease him in a year in 2026 to get him back into it. So he's on the list. I understand he's a little old for it, but as far as us getting fantasy production, it's going to take a year and a half.
I will just to clarify, because somebody's going to bark about that. He, depending on how you look at he is not eligible for the rookie of the year anymore, but he has less than 50 innings, and most folks kind of are at that spot where if they haven't thrown 50 innings or been on, made something like eight starts or something like that, then they're not, or 10 starts or whatever. But yeah, so he's still at that point where you should kind of consider him a rookie, but
fantasy rookie MLB. Yeah. No, that did expire. Yeah. So fine.
Just figured somebody would want
in Ben, get clarification in. So. Anyway, I also have 21-year-old 2022 seventh round pick who finished last year in Double A, Jonah Tong.
Yeah,
in 113 innings, he had a 34% K rate. He's got four pitches. He's up to 95. Not ideal. Like walk rate was a little high, and I did this. I haven't done it yet. Do you guys know what an XFIP is?
Yeah.
I've heard something.
I don't, but it was 288. So whatever the hell that means, I don't know how that goes into fantasy, but I think it means he's good. So he's on the list. And then I also have, I think I've spelled it wrong, and I'm going to assume it's Jesus Baez. I have J-E-U-S, which I don't think that makes
it's sound. Supposed to be Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what, you know. You
so
know
Jesus Baez, 19-year-old.
Thank you, Jesus!
You know, they talk about contact skills. He gets the ball in the bat speed. That's what we're getting at. In A ball last year, he had a decent slug, 447, not a terrible K rate. Yeah, like just
incremental progress.
Seems interesting. That's, as the next guy, maybe he could hit 15 to 20 home runs. Yeah, just, you know, deep leagues. You're looking at him. You want to see what he does this year. Mm-hmm. If you can pick up prospects in season, I'm in one league where you can do that. He's definitely somebody who, if he gets off to a good start, could take over for that quad ache type guy that's sitting in my minors.
Beautiful. All right, let's open it up to a party time on the Mets' behalf.
Well, and this is not as deep a system as the other two that we've talked about tonight, but it's actually, you know, it's got some depth to it. Still, one of the guys that as I'm getting
what an ready, interesting
as,
comment.
Yeah, as I was as I was getting ready for FYPDs, I started to dig in a little bit on certain guys, and one of the ones was and this was after I had made my big three next three picks. One of those was the Mets outfielder Carson Bengy.
Yeah.
Was their first round pick out of Oklahoma State. He was a two-way guy all the way through this last year, but he is now 100% focusing on hitting. And the power and the arm make for just a perfect right field profile. They have him playing some center right now, and he is athletic enough to do it. But yeah, it's just a perfect right field profile with his arm and his power that he has, and kind of showed very well in a very short debut. I mentioned Luis Angel Acuña in my extras. I didn't mention when you were talking about him, it is his birthday today. So, you know, happy birthday to Ronald's little brother.
Happy birthday!
But then, let's see here. Nick Morabito is a second round pick out of high school in Washington, D.C. He can absolutely fly on the bases and really strong contact skills. Good enough defender. I get a lot of Brett Butler type of vibes watching him play. If for those of you who really enjoyed that type of a leadoff hitter in the late 80s, early 90s, that's
of course.
And then I had to get one catcher in because, you know, it's a catcher and you know, because Robbie loves catchers. But Christopher Suero was an international free agent in 22. He was actually a kid who went to high school in the Bronx for a year and then decided to go down to the Dominican so he could sign, and he had to establish himself. So he was a kid who signed at 17 and made his debut at 18 because he did that route. But he got to forego going through the draft. Let's just say he probably got more money than he would have coming out of high school by going the route that he did. But he is extremely athletic, has played around. He's played some infield, has played quite a bit of outfield. Really, really like what he could be. Before he was with the Pirates, Andy Rodriguez was this type of guy with the Mets system before he got traded over to the Pirates. And that's kind of what you're getting a lot of that vibe here. Could be a really good guy to come up and kind of do like what Hunter Goodman is going to be doing in Colorado this year, where you're playing in other spots, but you're technically the backup. Yeah, there you go. Technically the backup catcher. I could see him, you know, once Francisco Alvarez gets over being hurt and he broke his hammy. But let's see. Nolan McLean, you guys know that name?
No.
No. He was a second round pick in 23 out of Oklahoma State and fits a profile for the Mets because he was also a two-way guy out of Oklahoma State, and they let him continue doing that. But he's hit for plenty of power, but I think in like 190 at bats last year, struck out 70 times. So, the hitting thing is going by the wayside this year. He is going to focus purely on the mound. Yeah. The pitching is solid, and he's, with the development that they tend to do. What's that?
It's just look at, he had 42 walks and 109 and two thirds innings. But you can
call 911,
glaze over that for 116 Ks, but then like I just keep seeing 42 walks. And he would start it every time.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. That probably was for them to line up his DH stuff. But like you said,
well,
horrific K rate.
And I think that he's going to likely be a guy that takes a little time just because he's been doing the two-way stuff and now is just focusing on pitching now. So this might be the type of thing where he goes through, I think he was in low A last year. I'm just shooting off the top of my head here.
High A, moved up to double A to finish.
Okay. There. It would not surprise me at all. And they've done this before. If they kind of, they like to really work on their guys at high A and double A. That's where they tend to do a lot of their development with those college guys, and they'll spend extra time at those levels. And then kind of once they've shown that, they hop up to triple A and they're just, you know, right there ready for the majors. Calvin Ziegler is a 21 second round pick out of high school in Florida. He was actually Canadian by birth.
Cool.
And, but a righty, he's got an elite fastball and curve, but he had 1 year in the complex league and has not been healthy since. More than likely, he's probably moved into a reliever profile from now. But just a guy to keep an eye on, because if he is able to come back and add a pitch, that could be a really interesting arm. And last but not least, Jack Weninger, left-handed pitcher, 23, sixth-round pick out of Illinois of Urbana-Champaign. Big time control guy. I actually saw one scout who wrote him up and had him as a 70 control. So, I mean, it's
holy smokes.
But it's like an A ball. So, I mean, that's saying something. But that also is probably why he was noticed so well for his control, because nobody in freaking A-ball can throw a strike. So if he can consistently hit a spot, then he's probably getting really high marks. And he does, but he also throws about 90 to 92 with the fastball. So he's going to need that pinpoint control. He'll probably see the upper minors at some point this year, and that's going to be a good test for what he can do. But just a guy to kind of keep an eye on.
Beautiful.
So there's probably any additions.
Yeah, I got a few here for the Mets. So Drew Gilbert, we didn't really talk about because he sucked.
No.
But he's not out of it yet.
Yeah.
Right? He's not done. He just had what we call a down year where everything looked like crap and we forget about him. But keep in mind that when he came over from Houston, he was going to excel and be in that outfield. And we know it's clogged for this year. But we could see him getting time depending on how things go with the Mets. Just don't forget about him. Don't get rid of
your... He did walk more than he struck out in the Arizona Fall League.
Which was the only thing of note that you want to mention from the Fall League. Because that was supposed to be a salvation.
Yeah. I mean, he did hit four home runs. He had... His batting average was terrible down there. But yeah, injuries just wrecked his year, all year this year.
So hopefully he just like did whatever he needed to do to get straight to walk into camp this year, you know, ready to compete, not really thinking about making the big league club, knowing all the veterans, but thinking about like finding his place at AAA and really kind of going for it. So
I will say Gilbert in center field is extremely natural and smooth as a center fielder.
And that is not a spot that is locked down, as we mentioned, if they don't look to convert elsewhere. You did not mention Boston Barrow. Is that correct?
No, I did not.
Okay, eighth rounder in 23. Let's see, what did he do last year that I wanted to bring up for everybody? He OBP, that's what it was. He had 46 walks to 76 strikeouts for a 358 OBP. Nothing special on the stolen bases or whatever, but he is a 19-year-old who was playing at high A to finish last year. So that one's interesting. I am recapping on my Franklin Gomez, who I mentioned as a guy, big three last year. Reason he didn't repeat, and I couldn't remember when we were covering him, was that he tacked on this new thing he does where he walks one guy for every half inning he pitches. So he had 41 walks in 82 innings to 83 strikeouts total, whereas the previous year in 50 and two-thirds innings, he had 71 strikeouts, and he only had 17 walks. So that was three levels last year. Last year, he just pitched at A-ball all year. He is only 18, so this is another project to work on, but it wasn't great. He's a very thin six-footer, but his pitcher makes him look like he's round. So the catcher I wanted to mention with the Mets, because this is the prototypical guy that pisses me off in fantasy. Kevin Pareda. Remember when he got drafted?
I knew exactly where you were going.
This is the prototypical hyped catcher. He's going to do these things. Malcolm
coming
Moore's
from Georgia Tech
from right now.
Where Georgia Tech produced good catchers and you know, all those sorts of things. Yeah.
I hope Malcolm Moore, you know, can buck the trend of, you know, a guy drafted in the first round that everybody gets excited about. Pareda, for some reason, on various, like, not fantasy necessarily, but fantasy, of course, but like baseball prospect charts, like MLB.com and stuff, was getting ranked way too high out of the draft. And I don't know if that was a sign of the times in 22 when, you know, the, like 10 guys after the draft was over were immediately on the top 100 list for baseball. I'm like MLB.com. And I just thought, let them see some pro ball time, because since he has been in pro ball, it has not been amazing. No. It has been adjustment. Which, and it just doesn't look like it's doing any, like he looks like he's stumbled out at double A right now after
it
like
is
his first full year.
He flipped from the guy who, when he was drafted, everyone said, well, the battle play. But you got to see what he can do behind the plate, because we're just not sure he's even a catcher. And then now,
like,
he's actually made some work 300? To where he's actually a decent catcher. But yeah, he can't hit worth a darn, so he ain't going to make it on what he's doing.
But he's somebody to mention, because I know he's rostered everywhere still. No one's going to give up on it. But like, he's went south on it. And then I did see that.
We couldn't do diddly poo offensively. Right.
We did miss talking about a Brewer, right? We did not talk about Ernesto Martinez.
Oh, so yeah. Uncle Ted brought this up.
Yeah.
While Ben was going over some Mets. And I'm like, no, we did not. 6 foot six, 250 pounds.
I apologize. I did have the name penciled. I did not make, I was distracted by my Wrens. I wanted to go talk about a pitcher. So, but this is a beast of a 25-year-old. Issue I have is that he's only been to double A so far.
Yeah. And Brewers are not a team that will hold a guy back if they feel that he is ready. And so the fact that he is 25 and at double A, I guess when I watched him after last year, he got brought up a little bit, mainly because he's 6 foot six and 250 pounds, but yet he can still steal 20 bases. I mean, that's a big boy to get moving the way he does. So watching him a little bit, and it might have been Uncle Ted talking about him during the year during a show or something to that effect, but I watched him. I don't see it.
It's not gospel, but He's not even on the top 30 for MLB. We always talk about take it with a grain of salt when you look at their top 30.
That's a good one, though, Mike, because people are looking at how they play baseball on there. So if they don't think that he has the ability to successfully go up a system, they're not going to be on that list.
For what it's worth, last year, of his games that played, he played 87 games at first base, 6 games at center field. So most of his time was at first base. So, yeah, that's another maybe concerning thing, too, if you're spending that amount of time. Yes, he can steal 20 bases, but is your big league club going to really want their first baseman running like that?
Fantasy GM does.
Absolutely.
But I'm just saying. Run!
Goldie. It's Goldie 2.0.
Run, you son of a bitch!
they're all looking for Freddie Freeman numbers, the 20 steals. Yeah. I mean, actually, he's pretty consistent about
23 10, steals.
But he's kind of the.
And that's it.
Well, but Freddie's pretty consistent 5 to 10. I mean, because he picks the spots and gets 5 to 10.
But they harp on that number. That's why I did the Freddie Freeman bust video. I'm like, everyone thinks that 23 steals is going to happen again. It's not going to happen again.
No, but that's, the interesting thing that when just watch him, he's a big guy. I'm surprised he stole 20 bases watching him. He's quick. He's not fast. So he's got a really good first step or two, which is probably why if you look, he's like 20 out of 22 or something stealing is what it was. Okay. So he had a really good ratio. So it might be along those lines where maybe he's picking his spots really well. And like I said, he's got a good first step. So one of those where, he might be able to steal better than others. And, I mean, let's be blunt. He's 25 with a whole bunch of pitchers and catchers that are 21 and 22. And, there's just a matter of he's been around the game quite a bit. And this is a guy who he's a Cuban signee that was signed in 2017. So he's been around pro ball for quite a while here.
Yeah, this could be an interesting year for him, too, because he should be a minor league free agent after 6 years.
He will be, yep.
So not that that's a huge thing, but he also could have been Rule 5 minor league eligible. I'm not sure. I feel like that would have been the case, and he didn't move in that. So,
yeah.
Interesting. Well, there you go, Ted. See, it was on the list. People had it in mind. Sometimes there's so many names and things happen, but there it is, just for you. And that's why the live chat makes a difference. Thank you, Uncle Ted. You're a good man. Well, Jets, we did it. That's three organizations tonight, right? The Mets,
we only
the
have
Marlins.
Two more shows of this to go.
Oh, really? Well, that makes sense since we got about 2 weeks to opening day.
Yeah.
From tomorrow, 2 weeks. The real opening day, not that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool that MLB plays in Japan. I'm all for that, but I'm just not all for the fact that it happens 10 days before everybody else plays. I just don't.
And it really screws up a lot of fantasy leagues and things off season's wrapping up at. Yeah. It really bucks the timeline for it. So, yeah.
I completely agree. Not a fan of that, but I'm glad they go there. I think it's cool.
Make it closer. That's all. 3-day difference, something like that. Same calendar week.
Sometimes they don't think. They don't think all the time in the MLB office.
One thing to mention to folks who are watching, this is, we kind of like these to be evergreen, but one quick announcement for those who are watching.
Sure.
For starting tomorrow are the spring breakout games. That's where major league teams will send some of their best prospects to a prospect team and play another team's best prospects. It's a really good chance to see some of the best prospects that we talked about throughout this series during the spring. And that is going on through the 17th. So it's over the course of this weekend. So starting tomorrow and going through the 17th of March here. So definitely someone you're going to want, or some games that you're going to want to watch. They kick it off right away with the Cubs and the Dodgers, which should have some really good guys on that roster. But,
sure.
And I'm trying to see, I think it's Red Sox that first day, Red Sox and Rays. That would be a really fun with the top prospects there and then the depth of prospects for the Rays. So it could be kind of a fun combination there. But anyway, there's some really good games going on. Chance to see our two teams, Michael. We battle the Tigers and the Braves battle on the 16th. So
Cool.
That'll be interesting to kind of see. So, yeah, those are – it's a way to see some players that you might not normally see. So
– that's a good idea. I was just ripping on MLB. I like that idea. I know they did it last year, started doing it, so I'm all for it. Cool. That's a positive.
One of the really cool moments out of that last year was you had Paul Skeens facing Jackson Holliday, the number one pitcher at the time and the number one hitter at the time. And that was a really fun, at bat that year. So enjoy that. I mean, that's really kind of a cool moment that we get to watch some of those things. It's along the lines of the WBC when you get to watch a Shohei at his top pitch against Mike Trout when he's actually healthy. So, I mean, those type of moments don't happen always in baseball for us. So
enjoy them when you can. Not so silent majority must be in Arizona then, because says he's going to the Cubs game. Yeah. Should be great. So that's cool. I think it's great. I love that stuff. Robbie, are you so excited about it?
The most excited.
The most.
All right, well, it's time for us to put a bow on this thing. Great job, Benjamin Jason, Robbie Baseball. Go to our Discord. It's free. Follow him online. And check out Ben's other work, too. You know, Ben's got other stuff he's working on. He also, as I was very pleased and happy for you, talking about the Internet Baseball Writers Association of America over on Potapalooza last weekend, which if you guys missed, you can go check out that stream. Ben talked prospects with Joe Lowry, our dear friend here, who's always been one of our pals who hosted it. That was really cool.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that. And you gave away did you get to the giveaway too? Is that still pending?
I haven't actually heard from Justin as far as that. So maybe I
need to. Sometimes he takes a minute. I think it'll come back.
Are we going to get the guy on the panel, Ben, that was the catcher lover?
That enjoyed catchers?
Like almost just as a punishment to me. I think that would be great.
I can get Nate
we should have done that for 1,000 subs. Should have made Robbie talk about catchers for an hour as a punishment. I mean, we would get 1,000 subs, but he would have had a punishment. So, but we already got it, so who cares?
He does a show on Prospects Based Show with Trevor Huth for Pitcher List.
Oh, Trevor Huth. So,
so he probably would know his way around a prospect or two if we really wanted to get him on and do a catcher focused show during the year sometime.
God, it just sounds horrible. That has All-Star Break written all over it.
Yeah,
it does.
Respect is important.
Jerry says, where's the Palazzo Substack? I'm like, we have everything else. There's no Substack. I guess we failed you on that one. Donnie says, much love. Thank you so much, guys. Good night, guys. See you Friday. That's right. We'll be back on the air on Friday, of course, talking some more baseball. And this has been great. Make sure you check out the other work in the playlist. We have a 2025 Fantasy Baseball Prep playlist. It is filled with redraft, dynasty, prospects, keepers, all kinds of stuff. Just like if you get those draft guides and you're into draft guides like the Black Book or things like that, this is a draft guide, except it's just in video form. So you can listen or watch, and I guarantee you, you'll learn something and you'll be better off for it in your 2025 fantasy baseball season. Okay? Okay. Sound good, gentlemen?
Yep.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for being here. We'll catch you next time.
Power prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. For a prospect, you'll trade all the above. Don't need money, don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride on this train. It's strong and it's sudden, it's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
At Tanger Outlets, find all the best brands all on sale every day. Step into the season's newest arrivals and save big on the styles you love. Shop Under Armour, Michael Kors, Crocs, and more. With up to 70% off, plus an extra 25% off for a limited time. Hurry in for amazing deals from the brands you love. Only at Tanger Outlets.